Happy Friday, sports fans. This is the voice of America's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
They were standing up in London this week for the Blues of Chelsea, who paraded through the British capital after winning their fifth English Premier League football title. We're going to take a look back at the English Premier League with three of my esteemed Premier League analysts on my right. Downtown Brown.
Hey, this is Downtown Brown. Thank you, Sonny, for doing the intro already for me.
On my left, Hakeem Shamo.
Hey, it's good to be here again.
And on Hakeem's left, Tef.
Hey, guys.
All right, let's start with the table. Downtown, why don't you run through the winners and the losers for us?
So the winners for this season is Chelsea. They finished with 87 points. Second is Manchester City. Third is Arsenal with 75 points. Manchester United came in fourth. Sorry, Tef, I just want to say that. I didn't mean to laugh on that one. The Tottenham Spurs finished in fifth with 64 points.
All right, what about the clubs that were relegated downtown?
Hull City that finished in 18th, and they came with 35 points. Burnley with 33 points, and the Queen Park Rangers with 30 points.
Hakeem, what do you think surprised you about the table this year?
I mean, I'm not too surprised, to be really honest. Queen's Park, I mean, this season, I mean, boy, what can you say? Yeah. I mean, they were good, right? I mean, at some point, it was the last season, I guess, and then maybe we were expecting something, you know, for them to stay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they always spend a lot of money, so it's unfortunate that they're down there.
Now, I know the Blues of Chelsea, they got a lot of fans in Africa, and if we look over who their key players were, I was just looking at the Premier League team of the year. I think Chelsea's got like six players.
Yeah, deservedly. As much as I hate that team, deservedly. They have a lot of players.
All right, why don't you run down the top 11 for us, Tef.
Starting in the back, it was the fight between De Gea and Courtois, I think, and De Gea took this one. Terry, Ivanovic, and Cahill from Chelsea make the back four, and Bertrand from Southampton finishes it up. And then in the middle, you have Coutinho from Liverpool, Sanchez from Arsenal, Matic from Chelsea, and then the front is Hazard and Costa from Chelsea as well. So yeah, that's definitely a full Chelsea team minus some.
Yeah,
I'm glad we made it on the list, and Sanchez did too. De Gea and
got that little
yeah,
one
but
hurrah.
that's a tough one.
If we look at the awards this past season in the EPL, I guess Man City has a lot to be proud of, right, Hakeem?
Yeah, they got a bunch of awards. I mean, I'm not that surprised. It's just that Chelsea, I mean, you know, winning the cup, you would assume that, you know, a lot of them would be on the list. But Sergio Aguero, 26 goals, and Joe Hart, one of the best clean sheets in the league, right?
Yep.
So those two guys definitely deserve it to be up there. And yeah.
All right, Aguero led EPL in scoring with 26 goals, as you said, Hakeem.
Yeah.
Downtown, run through our top goal scorers in the EPL.
So we got Sergio Aguero with 26 goals, Harry Kane with 21, Diego Costa with 20, Charlie Austin with 18, Alexis Sanchez with 16.
That's your boy, right?
Yeah, it should have been more. It should have been more. There's a couple times.
He fell asleep in the second half of the season, but
yeah,
that's okay.
I have nothing to say about that one. I mean, I'm surprised he's actually in the top five. So moving down the list, we got the famous Eden Hazard. And then we got Oliver Giroud with 14.
Saido Berahino from West Brom is also matched at 14.
Yep.
And then Benteke at 13. I hope he does damage this weekend.
Yeah.
And then David Silva at 12.
I mean, he's doing really well so far. Yeah. But according to the Arsenal defense, it might be a good matchup for him.
It's
see if he's actually
matchup.
Going to score, you know?
Yep.
Okay, Aguero and Kane at the top of the list. They both had hat tricks this season. Kane delivered his hat trick against Leicester City. back on March 21st, and Aguero against Tottenham Hotspur on October 18th. I want to give a special shout-out for this Senegalese striker, Sadio Mane from Southampton. He puts his name in the record books, Tef.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think he scored a hat-trick under 3 minutes, which is a huge record.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, let alone coming from a Southampton player.
Yeah.
So, no service. He battled for all those goals.
I don't think anyone's going to break that record.
The funny thing was, I went to go get something to drink. I come back. It's a goal. I was like, okay. Yeah. I come back again. I'm like, two more goals. I'm like, are you serious?
Yep. That was incredible.
Jose Mourinho, manager of the season. I put his name on my Facebook page and got a few boos. I think Mourinho.
I will boo as well.
Mourinho. Yeah. Kind of a polarizing figure.
You know, okay, I'm going to interrupt you guys. The one guy who boos him the most is me. And I'm going to, you know, just put that out there. But I'm going to change my mind and say, you know, he does deserve it. For a couple of reasons. One, I mean, you know, we're talking about Premier League, you know, and he managed to keep his team together. He had an amazing, you know, squad. He put all those boys at work every day, and he pulled it off. And I give him that credit for being that kind of a coach who's able to do that. But there are a lot of coaches out there who just can't do it. You know, sometimes they don't have that.
Yeah, because the one thing I wish I like about him was he knew his team was going to win. Majority of the game. Once halftime hit, they knew they were going to win. They went to ultra defense. It was hard for actual teams that could score on them, especially Chelsea, Manchester United, teams that want to actually jump up.
Actually, I was watching this video yesterday that he gave a speech at the Chelsea dinner, and he was making fun of all the teams. He said he think of an imaginary team, and he was making fun of Manchester United first. He said they play possession, but you know FIFA rules say you have to score to win. And then with Arsenal, he said they play beautiful, but they can't score. And with City, they don't know how to defend.
Very true.
But, I mean, for me, it's the biggest challenge for Mourinho is going to be to play beautiful against big teams. He does it well against West Brom.
Yes.
But when it's Barcelona, PSG, he's
some teams is the opposite. You know, some of these mediocre teams, they'll do great against some of these, like, you know, Man United or even Chelsea sometimes. Yeah. But he knows how to do that, how to get that, you know.
He knows how to get a point, but that's where he's also questioned, because in the end, you can get the points, but can you play, but you know, good or beautifully against a big team?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's give another shout out for the Belgian Eden Hazard, pretty much a consensus pick for player of the season. Your thoughts on Hazard, Tef?
I think he deserves it. Again, this is where I think last year he was a little upset with how Mourinho played, because such a creative player to be in such a rigid defensive team, it's always hard. But I think he's taken the role and he showed up big in the second half, and that's what got him the title, I think.
Just some of his stats, actually. He had 9 assists this season, and with 14 goals, he actually kind of did better than Alexis Sanchez, which is, I like to give a hats off for him, because it's hard to actually shine. It's hard to actually shine on Chelsea, which is very true. Yeah. I mean, that's what he did.
Especially
really
midfield. He has 9 assists as well, I think.
I think it's that stepping up gets the award for me. I think that he, because he did that, it just shows that he could be a leader. And, you know, in the future of Chelsea, he could, you know, maybe be a captain at one point.
Yeah.
And he's a young player. Very young player.
And that's right. Yeah. And I wanted to make a quick point, because it is Chelsea, so I like to, you know, hate on him.
Who doesn't?
Right. He started off, when he first came to Chelsea, he started as a very selfish player. And I think that selfishness has kind of died down a little bit. So that's why, to me, I'm like, maybe he's trying to be a leader.
Still with Chelsea, got to give another shout-out for the longtime Ivorian captain.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
Didier Drogba, I know he wasn't an integral part of the Blues, but they did carry him off the pitch at Stamford Bridge. Is he heading here to the States? MLS, what do you think?
I mean, the other option would be for him to coach the strikers at Chelsea, which is what they brought him in apparently in the beginning. If I was him, I'd just take the pay cut and just come here for a vacation or something.
if he does go to MLS, I would love to see him for DC United.
That would be great.
That would be a good squad.
Although it seems like these best European players, they have a tendency to end up in L.A. for some reason.
The weather, I'm sure.
Or Miami.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the beach.
They can challenge
so
that.
It's not the paychecks, huh?
Yeah. Right.
And what about, still with that, what about Frank Lampard? He's coming to the States.
Yeah, he's going to New York FC.
Finally.
Yeah, right? After all the hop... After all the publicity about him and David Silva, I'm actually waiting for him to actually see how well he's going to be doing with MLS.
Yeah. And what about Gerard? Gerard also.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He's...
Horrible send-off, but the guy's he's good.
The only thing I can think of is that 6-1 loss he just had his last game.
It's a horrible send-off.
But hey, he scored.
He did score.
Isn't that the best way to retire from that guy? <right?
laughs> Not when it's the only goal in a 6-1.
It's right? Okay, man. You know, at least he gets to go and say, hey, I scored that goal.
Yeah, like exactly. when you lose your last game, like, well, at least this is what I did my last game. I scored.
I mean, if we can take a quick break from the EPL, sure. do you get the sense maybe MLS is still getting these guys when they're long in the tooth? A little bit, rather than, you know, still got a few good years left in them?
I think so. I mean, it's good to have teams like the New York City, for example, that are like feeder teams to ideally the Man City. But you can't have like a team like the Galaxy who are not connected in any way to a Premier League club. So these players are always coming after they're done with their major part of their career.
And the best thing about it is actually they're improving MLS as we speak. They're using actually... people from that had an amazing career. They're probably using the same tactics they used when they're over there, and they're bringing it back to MLS, which is going to help for USA.
Yep.
Time to time.
And it still says a lot when players can still go to Qatar for a lot of money and they still pick the US. So it's somewhere in between. Somewhere in between.
For me, the MLS is still it's hard to sell to these European players. You know, like there's a lot they consider not just. Oh, yeah, it's USA and, you know, great weather and, you know, good people maybe to see. But no, at the end of the day, it is always about soccer. It's always about the beautiful game. Mm. And it's still not the greatest compared to Europe. So a lot of players, especially at that young age, they all want to go to the best, the top teams, the top leagues.
Yeah.
And that's where they are. And maybe, you know, before they retire, they say, maybe I'll give it a year or two and I'll just go to MLS. So that's what I think about MLS.
Well, we can start looking ahead to next season in the EPL. Fantasy moves.
Fantasy moves. Oh, yes. This is what I wanted right now. This is what I was dreaming.
Talk
to us down.
I had a dream about Benzema going to Arsenal. Benzema going to Arsenal.
Wow.
I mean, it's actually talks about it. 35
million. What is Benzema going to look
He does forward? Speak French.
Yeah.
Wenger loves his French players.
We'll take Drew and switch him out. We'll take the two Frenchmen out. So, Tef, who do you have?
See, for me, I think we already have ours, which is Memphis Depay. So he is already here. Young guy, the next Cristiano, supposedly.
Yeah,
so I'm very happy with that. I mean, the only other person I'd want would be Pogba from now on. And that's... almost too dreamlike. If he comes back to Manchester United, I'll be the happiest person.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to stay with Juventus.
I hope he does. Stay. If he goes somewhere, I don't want him to come to England. If it's not Manchester United, I'm very afraid of this guy.
What about you, Hakeem?
I'm not. You know, I have a couple, but I don't want to like say them. To me, I think like for example, like a couple of players from Real Madrid might. You know, they might leave. If not, I'm not sure how they can handle the next coach. So I don't know. I mean, Ancelotti leaving is one thing, but at the same time, I'm not going to put all the blame on Ancelotti. I'm going to say that that the entire team has problems, and I think some players might leave, and maybe Gareth Bale might be one of them. Who knows? I don't see Cristiano leaving at all.
Okay, no, my fantasy move kind of half EPL, half MLS. Drogba to DC.
I see.
The drugs.
Right.
Okay, big match at Wembley Stadium on Saturday. FA Cup final. It is the oldest competition, I believe, in international club football. The Gunners of Arsenal. Woo! And I think they have at least one supporter here in the studio.
Yeah. And I'm
taking
loving it.
On Aston Villa. And let's talk about the crowd first at Wembley. I guess each club was dispersed something like 25,000 tickets. So
yeah,
I guess equal support for each club.
There's a funny story. I read it yesterday. there was a fan who emailed the Queen or sent a letter to the Queen asking for tickets to the game. And I was like, that's not a bad idea.
Did she read it?
She read it, and obviously they had to deny the approval. So,
well, how do you see the match downtown?
I see the match with my prediction going 2-1. I'm going to go with Alexis Sanchez with a nice little free kick. and then I got another – I got Walcott scoring. He had an amazing hat trick last game. I think they're going to start him. And I think it'll just probably be a cheap shot by Aston Villa. So
I want Aston Villa's Benteke to have a major game. Like he scored last time. He scored 3 goals when they tied 3-3 against the team. What I will say, though, is I hate Arsenal a lot, but I don't think this time around they can – let the other team score 2 like they did last year before coming back. It's not going to happen. I don't think they'll get 3 goals back against Aston Villa, although they concede a lot. So, Benteke to have a big game and
Aston Villa to win 2-1. I was about to cry. Like, I did not see it. Like, I saw it was like 2-0, and I was like, okay, we're coming back. Slowly and surely, it was like a knockout punch, then another knockout punch, and then actually like the KO, and I was like, okay.
But not against Aston Villa.
That's going to be a tough one.
Maybe that's
one.
What I want to see him crying, so I'm going to agree with you.
Yes.
Now, this match could also have an impact on the Champions League, right?
Yes.
Tell us how that works.
Well, usually it goes, if they win, they'll get an easier position into UEFA Champions League. And that would be really helpful for us since we finished third.
The Gunners.
Yes, the Gunners.
Yeah,
so.
Us. You got to be clear, man.
I know. I like a lot of, fans like to say that.
No.
A lot of fans.
No. Nobody knows what us
you
is.
Say us. Yeah. I'll let you say us.
Yeah. Okay. So I guarantee you'll probably say us too one time. You're like,
no,
okay,
I'm
yeah.
I'm going to say my team name. I'm not going to say us.
All the way in
okay.
But it's definitely going to be a huge battle for us to actually get into the right spot that we want to be in. I just want to leave it all on the floor, or all on the ground, the grass. Just get a couple good goals and stay positive about everything we're going to do. And that's just like an honest opinion and for Arsenal, not my team, not us. So,
okay, your team. But yes, your team, you know what? I mean, finishing third is not bad. Maybe that's something for them to look forward to.
You know, the
maybe start investing in the team, buy some good players,
Yes.
No more of this
my biggest concern,
controversy about the, coach and, focus on that.
My biggest concern with Arsenal is, they still haven't won an EPL title. And somehow these FA Cup titles are being used as excuses for their 11-year drought.
True.
So I wouldn't
that.
Be happy as a fan
I'll
if after
that.
10 or 12 years, all I had were 2 FA Cups.
But the best thing about it is, how do we get to the finals?
No, sure.
How do we get to the finals? I think we all know how we got to the finals.
Well, let me give you a scenario. See, a lot of these teams, they don't care about these other cups. They focus so much on, for example, Champions League.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All, especially La Liga teams.
But
that's
to the
all
fans,
they do.
Though. You
yeah.
got to think about yeah. to the fans.
That's fine. That's
Arsenal,
fine.
You're forgetting that Arsenal at some point was the biggest team in England.
Yeah.
49 unbeaten run. That's,
I used to like him.
Yeah,
Thierry Henry, you remember him?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God,
how can I not forget him?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's, I know these guys do, but I'm just asking you.
Yeah.
I still think Wenger needs to go. Conclusion.
Oh, really now?
Okay, let's look back again on the Premier League. Biggest highlight. On a personal basis, what was your biggest highlight, Tev?
Biggest highlight? Since Chelsea's getting all the rewards, Charlie Adams' goal of the season.
Oh, that's
yes.
right. I forgot
yes.
about that.
That would be my biggest highlight.
That was like from behind
the midway line.
Midway
I guess the other supposed best goalie, Courtois. So that was kind of rewarding for me, even though they lost the game.
Yeah. For me, I'll probably say was Wayne Rooney's knockout celebration.
Oh, that's
that was good too.
And I was watching and I was like, okay, who else has a better celebration this semester or this season? And I was just like, it's hard to beat that one.
Hakeem, do you have any personal highlight?
That 3-minute hat trick was unbelievable. Sure, I want to bring it up again because
Sadio
I think
Mane.
That was probably the best because it's not going to be broken. But yeah, when you look back, you have to look at that again. Yeah.
All right, we're talking English Premier League football with Downtown Brown, Hakeem Shamo, and Tef, and we're going to come back and talk the UEFA Champions League final in Berlin. But first, let's take a quick break for these Voice of America programming announcements. Kick it!
Kick it! Betty, 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 Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports, from the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
This is the Voice of America.
Voice of America. VOA. Washington.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
June 6th in the German capital, Berlin, it's Juventus from Italy against Lionel Messi and Suarez and those Barcelona boys for the biggest prize in European club football. Start with you downtown. Can Juventus pull off the upset?
Yeah. First, you got to look at the X factors. You got to look at Pogba, you got to look at Pirlo, and you got to look at Vidal. That midfield for Juventus is probably going to be the key thing for them to actually do well in this game. And then mentioning the Barcelona midfield, you got Iniesta, you got Sergio Vasquez, and you got Neymar. Neymar likes to play midfield sometimes too, but you got to look at those primary players that like to play midfield, like both back and forth, nonstop running. That's like the main thing you got to look at for this game.
I'm going to agree with you, but I'm trying to see which one of us is a Barcelona fan, because I need to
go down
on you guys, you know? Yes, that's, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, even though I'm not a huge fan of Juventus, but I'm a huge fan of Italy, you know, and we've lost that, you know, for many years. Yeah. And them being in the final, you know, it kind of gives that little bit of spirit of the Italians and Italian clubs. And do I think that, you know, they have what it takes to win this? I do. And I'm going to give it to the entire team. I'm not going to be specific on each players, but primarily that midfield that you just mentioned. Midfield versus Barcelona midfield, I think that Juventus has a better midfield because, you know, the last year or two, Barcelona has been, you know, kind of losing, you know, that sort of formation that they usually have, you know, exactly. In the midfield. Usually you have Messi in the middle. Mm-hmm. Even though you have this in this chart that he's in the middle, but sometimes he plays on the right.
Yeah.
When he plays in the middle, there isn't you have that 4-3-3, so you don't really have that main striker. Mm-hmm. And Suarez plays that, and that's what he plays. He doesn't play that player where he comes back into the midfield and then feeds and then back and forth with a lot of passes here and there. Mm-hmm. But so that's why this midfield is sort of new. They're kind of like rearranging things. I mean, you have, you know, Iniesta, you know, he's kind of getting old, and what's his name is coming in, Xavi.
Yeah.
So, he's not in there, really. And then Rakitic, he's kind of new. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the best thing about this Barcelona team is not the defense nor the midfield. It's the attack. Their attack is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And if you let those three guys go.
Or just have fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
It can
they will damage and they will score. But I think that, you know, Juventus can definitely defend that.
How do you see the game, Tef?
It's going to be, first of all, in the Champions League, you know, these one-off games are always the hardest ones because, you know, you don't get the second leg. You can't recover from a defeat. And
unless you're Bayern Munich.
If you're the last, you know, if you're playing one game against a team like Barcelona, and I say this from experience because, you know, Manchester faced them three times in like 4 years and they beat them very badly. They beat Manchester United very badly. So in this one, I think Barcelona has the edge. I think everybody knows that. But I want to say that Tevez and maybe Pogba are going to be very crucial for Juventus. And as far as Barcelona goes, I've really seen a huge connection between Messi and Rakitic. So I think that's going to be, I would even think that's even more important than, you know, the Neymar connection. Wow. But so I think Tevez cancels Suarez out. Nobody cancels Messi out.
Yeah,
but
that's
Pogba can be, but Pogba can be the same.
The huge X factor for Juventus.
Yep.
Although I thought I remember during one of your chats during a previous show that Messi doesn't quite step up during the Champions League.
I said it. I said it. And I'll say it again too. But the reason why is that sometimes there's that pressure that Messi has, you know, that especially playing for a final. And he does that, especially playing for a very strong team. Now, I want to give you guys a quick example. You know, Barcelona, we know their style, you know, for the last couple, how many years?
Yeah.
They have a certain style, you know. And if a team cannot manage to kind of destroy and break that style, that passing game, then Barcelona can easily win any
game.
They
run right.
They're comfortable. But if you pressure them, if you hurt them, like Italians will do, and I guarantee you, you'll see yellow cards the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
That's how you have to
It'll
do
be
it.
A lot of fun.
And if you break it, if you break that system, that's when you won't see Messi.
So you think it's going to be a rough match?
It's going to be a rough match because you're
playing
Italians.
I think Juventus will probably open the gates with guns blazing.
If Juventus scores first, I think they have a very, very high chance of winning.
Yeah.
Because Barcelona really, pressure-wise, they're not...
Because you never know, they could actually fall like how Brazil fall against Germany. Once the couple goals started coming, it's nonstop.
Exactly.
They don't know what's going to happen next.
I don't see that happening, and that's why I say that Barcelona will
not
have an easy game.
That's the best
game.
Thing about that. Have they ever played against each other, though?
Have they played each other?
No.
I think the best one would be AC Milan, which is, you know, like an Italian team.
Yeah. So they're not going to be like used to playing against Italian teams. They're not going to be used to the slide tackles or the flops.
There you go. You just brought up a good point. See, a team like, you know, not playing a team like that could actually be very tough for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
It's like the scrappy one. Yeah. It's like
and
a
the
scrappy
referees make
dog.
These games, by the way. A lot of Champions League finals.
Oh, God. I wish referees just keep it clean.
Yeah, right?
Predictions.
My prediction, I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-1 Juventus. Only because I think they're going to be like the little scrappy dogs against like a simple big bulldog. And a lot of times, it's not the size of the dog, it's the bite in the dog. So we'll see what happens. I want to see a good game. None of my teams are in there, so I can't really throw my opinions out there that much. But I want to see a good game, like a huge fight or like a big basketball game.
Right.
I just want to see a good match. I want to go down to the buzzer beater. Final. That's it.
I'm going to flip the score line. Barcelona 2, Juventus 1. Messi gets a goal. That's my prediction.
Messi gets a goal.
Messi gets a goal. I like that.
I'm going to say 3-2.
Ooh.
Juventus.
I can see that.
So who do you think is going
to
score for Juventus?
I'm telling you, we are going to get our game's worth. I'm telling you. We're going to see that kind of game.
Yeah,
because I see Messi scoring a goal, maybe Neymar, maybe Suarez, but I do see that Juventus attacking, those set pieces, those...
Yeah.
Crucial moments where it's going to come out of nowhere, and I know that this team has the capability of scoring at least 3 goals.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to score though for Juventus?
Tevez, maybe
for sure.
One or two.
maybe three.
Maybe a Pirlo, a free kick, maybe.
Who's amazing free kicks.
And also, by the way, who do you have as their goalie here? He's kind of been slacking off a little bit.
He has.
And.
Just take it.
Yeah.
Is their defense that good that we haven't heard of him?
Well, their defense. Okay, let's talk about the defense for a second. The defense, we've always criticized them, you know, because they're always winning games. We think that, you know, their defense is good. No.
Yeah.
Because you have the midfield controls that defense a lot too, you know, in terms of coming back really quickly and taking the ball or pressuring. That's why there's not that much pressure on their defense. But if it's like just defense against attack, trust me. That defense will fall, and the goalie, like I said, the goalie he's not the best. He can on a free kick, Pirlo can easily score on him.
Did I get your prediction?
I'll put him right now. I'll see this going the long route, so I think it's going to be a 2-2, and Juventus wins by penalties only because they have Buffon.
Wow,
you took my idea and then just added.
I just mumbled everything in there.
Oh, I see. That's a little cold blooded.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for now. I want to thank Tef.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, man.
And Downtown Brown.
Yep, that's me.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Have a good weekend, everyone.